read our scripture lesson this morning, taken from the Gospel of Luke. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And he was going into a village. 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." We ask God to bless the reading of his word this morning. That story from Luke's gospel, you may be familiar with that. You may have heard that many times. May God open our understanding to what he would have us know about that this morning. Now, as I begin, I wanted to ask you, have you ever turned on the TV and you're sitting there and you get caught up in the clever appeals of some of the commercials? You ever do that? I know I do. You know, you can hear some really remarkable offers. The announcer very seriously stares at the camera and a real deep voice says, "What you are about to see is miraculous." Or another one jumps up and down and they're all around shouting, "This is revolutionary! This is going to change everything." I get kind of ticked off when that happens. And another, very emotionally, almost in tears, says, "This is the greatest thing you will ever have in your life." You see, these offers, these advertisements, these products, they aren't cheap or they aren't flimsy offers. But more importantly to the consumer, they are there to assure that these products are new and improved and fantastic and capable of changing your life. God knows we need changed lives. So think about it. For only a few dollars, we can have cleaner clothes, whiter teeth, more glamorous hair, tastier food, automobiles and perfumes and diet drinks and mouthwash. All of these things are guaranteed to bring happiness and to bring friends and to bring the good life. But you know, as well as I do, that soon we realize that after we try these products, we go out, we buy them, we try them, and their claims are quite far from the truth. We're not happier. We haven't found the good life. And our lives basically are not altered. Many of us tend to think that our happiness is determined by what we have or what we don't have, or determined by our circumstances, what we're going through. You know, if I were to ask you this morning to, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being very low and 10 being very high, how happy are you right now, what would you say? Some of you might say a 2. Some of you might say a 5. Some might say a 7 on the happiness meter. And the question is, whatever we would say, why are we where we are? Why would we be at a certain point and not another? That's the question. In other words, I'm asking, what makes you happy? What? We've been taught that happiness is mostly dependent on how well things are going for us. But the truth be told, and at least if the truth that I find from here, the truth be told is that really our happiness is determined by our attitude, not by what we have or don't have, and not by what our circumstances, what we're going through. It's by our attitude. It is really in how we see things. For example, have you ever been in prison? Now, you don't have to answer that. That's okay. The Apostle Paul wrote the words from Philippians 4:4. He wrote it when he was in prison, and he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. Now, Paul was happy despite being beaten, being in chains, being in prison. How could he be happy about that? Now, I mean, some of our circumstances, whether it's health issues or whether it's financial issues or whether it's relational problems or whatever, how can we be happy when we're going through those kind of situations? Well, you see, Paul learned to thank God in everything that happened to him, in everything he did. He thanked God for those times. It was really his perspective on life. He was thankful to God for life in knowing Jesus Christ. What is the opposite of thanksgiving or giving thanks? See, I've tried to divide that up in my message this morning. We hear the word Thanksgiving and we think of holiday. We hear Thanksgiving and we think of the time that's coming up. But I'm breaking that word into two words, thanksgiving, giving thanks. What is the opposite of thanksgiving or giving thanks? It's complaining. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations better. It amplifies frustration when we're complaining. It spreads discontent and discord. It can invoke an invitation for the devil to get into our heart and our soul and our life and to cause havoc with our lives when we're complaining. The devil loves that. He loves for us to complain. And he takes that and says, see how miserable you are. See how God has turned his back on you. See what is happening to you. Complaining makes us miserable. Complaining is the arch enemy of thanksgiving. The two cannot coexist in the same heart. If you're complaining and you're wanting to praise or give thanks, they are fighting with each other and you're in conflict. Think about that. You can't have a heart that allows complaining and thanksgiving to be in the same heart. Thankfulness is so much more than having enough food to eat, a nice warm home to live in, good health, or financial security, because each of those circumstances can be taken from us at any instant. How many times has someone put their hope in something that they have and then it be taken away and they're devastated? Thankfulness is a state of being. It's a way of life. And we usually fail to live in a state of thankfulness because we take it for granted. We have grown accustomed to our blessings and quite frankly, we become spoiled. What about you? Do you have much? And do you have much to be thankful for, but you don't think so? Or you're not grateful for it in the way that you should be? Think about this. If you own a Bible, one Bible, You are abundantly blessed because one of the third of the people in the world do not have access to a Bible. Now, you may not read it, or you may not use it in the way that God would intend it because you've taken it for granted. If you awoke this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than 1 million people who will not survive the rest of this week because they will die from their illness. If you have experienced the danger of war, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are more fortunate than a half a billion people that live on this earth right now. If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, $20 to your name, and a place to sleep tonight, you are richer than 75% of all the people who live on this planet. We are blessed, but we don't always take a posture of thankfulness and understanding those blessings. Maybe we need a time of confession. Maybe we need to say, oh, God, forgive me for complaining and help me to give thanks for your blessings that I have today that I've just not acknowledged and understand. You see, giving thanks can change your life. I talked with a young man last night that came up to me and hugged me and thanked God for his life. Now, it was extraordinary because this young man, when he was a teenager, he struggled with many life problems. His mother abandoned him when he was very young. He grew up with a broken heart. He became an alcoholic as a teen. He got messed up with drugs. And I know because I was his youth pastor when I was first starting in ministry. And a lot of times as we talked, I didn't know what to do with him. My heart broke for him. And I thought at times there was no way that this young person would ever make it to adulthood. But that is where God comes in. You see, there was no hope for this young person, not in himself and his abilities, and certainly no power in me, even as a minister. But there was hope in Jesus. And there was power in the Son of God. And there was hope in the Savior. This messed up young person, this child with a broken life, had a life-changing experience when he met Jesus Christ. He was changed. His life was changed forever. His future was changed by the love and the power and the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. And as we hugged last night, I heard this young man thanking God for his life that had been changed forever. Now, I say this because just like this young man's story, the scripture that we read together this morning, we hear another story from the gospel reading where Luke shares with us the account of 10 lepers who met Jesus and had a life-changing encounter with the Lord. 10 persons with leprosy was healed. Now, there was only one, the scripture tells us, that returned to thank Jesus for what had happened. There had been many guesses through commentaries and through scholars over the years to why the other 9 didn't return to thank Jesus. But our focus is not on the 9 who didn't return, but it's on the one who did return and who was thankful. For he provides us with some very important information about thankfulness. You know about lepers, they were shunned in society. They couldn't live in the city. They had to live outside of the city. And whenever they came close to someone, they had to shout, "Unclean, unclean," because what that meant was the person that would hear them would know to keep a distance away from them. So here were these people, isolated from others, isolated from the city, outside, and whenever they got in close to people, they would have to say, "Unclean, unclean." Now, if you break this story down, it describes everybody, every human situation, yours and mine too. We are all outcasts from the kingdom of God, groping helplessly about in brokenness. But when God appears on the scene and we have the opportunity to hear His voice and to hear His offer of His touch of healing on us, we find that God wants to change us. God wants to cleanse us. God wants to heal us. That's why He sent Jesus into the world. Now, you might not realize it, but we all experience the pain of leprosy, a time when we have felt separated and alone from God. Whether it is in the death of a family member, or the loss of a job, or the separation in a marriage, or the infliction of emotional pain in trying to deal with people, we've all had circumstances in life where we've lived outside of the city, where we've been ostracized from that which we wanted, where we've paused and asked, "God, what did I do to deserve what I'm going through?" Perhaps the leper didn't deserve it. Here were 10 that had leprosy. Perhaps he didn't deserve to have leprosy. And the same can be said for each one of us in our own bouts of leprosy, of brokenness. We don't deserve it, but God comes here today. God comes in this service to let us know that He has some wonderful news. You may not be able to do anything about your situation, whether it's health or financial or relational or job. You can't do anything about that. But Jesus can. Jesus can heal you, can change your life. Do you need a touch of Jesus on your life? Do you need Him to change something that's going on in your life? He can. He wants to. And He's here to make that possible. You won't receive what God wants to give you by thinking that somehow you deserve it. You don't deserve it. This is an entitlement mentality, mindset, that has permeated American society at almost every level. We have been blessed to live in a land of plenty, and as a result, we become complacent and think we deserve to have even more of everything. We think we ought to have more. It's like two old friends who bumped into one another on the street one day, and one of them looked so sad, almost on the verge of tears, and his friend asked him, he said, "What has the world done to you, my old friend, to make you so sad?" And the sad fellow said, "Well, let me tell you. 3 months ago, my uncle died. But he left me $50,000. "Well, that's a sad story about your uncle, but that's a lot of money." Well, get this, the sad fellow said. 2 months ago, a cousin I never even knew I had died, but he left me $100,000 free and clear. Now, it sounds like you've been blessed, the man said. And he interrupted. He said, "Well, last month my great aunt passed away, but I inherited $200,000. And now the man was really confused. And then he said, well, why do you look so gloom? Why do you look so sad? And the sad fellow said, well, this month I haven't been given anything. Now, I know that's a corny joke, and I hesitate to use it, but it highlights something that I need us to look at, and that's self-centeredness. That's a sense that we feel, we get caught up in the feeling we're entitled because we're blessed so much. This entitlement mentality may have been the attitude of the nine lepers who were healed but who did not return to thank Jesus for their healing. If you were to infer the truth of this story on general humanity, we could say that 9 out of 10 people never really paused to give thanks to God for what they have and what He does for them. Does your life represent a spirit of thankfulness or one of complaining? The one leper who returned to thank Jesus teaches us that thankfulness completes healing. You see, healing means to be made whole, not only in body, but in mind and heart and spirit and soul. And while all 10 of the lepers found physical healing, only one found wholeness. Thanksgiving, or giving thanks, is an attitude. Thanksgiving or giving thanks is a way of life. Thanksgiving or giving thanks enables healing to bring wholeness. When we live life with a spirit of thanksgiving or giving thanks, we realize that life is a gift from God. And if we really understand that gift and understand who offers it, we can come to that one, we can come to Jesus, and we can receive a changed life. Thanksgiving can change your life. Pray with me, brothers and sisters. Almighty God, we come before you this morning in thanksgiving, praising you, Lord, for this time together. Dear God, we know you are here today to change us, to heal us. You're asking us right now, what do we want you to do for us? You know that too often we come before you and we have broken hearts, we have broken lives. We need you. We need your help. We need you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we are sinners. We need your forgiveness. We need your grace. We need a changed life. Oh God, we just bow before you and say, heal us now. And Jesus, I put my life in your hands right now, Lord. I'm going to do it. Jesus, I thank you for changing my life, for healing my soul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I want to invite you to respond to a time of giving thanks to God for His love and His life and His ability to change each one of us. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. We sing together, come that. I'm going to pray that you will have a blessed Thanksgiving. Go into the world and be kind to everyone. Be joyful and be thankful. Fill your mind with good things. Make giving thanks a daily praise. And may the God who gives peace be with each of us. Amen.